eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Welcome to another broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Wherever you are at this point in life, we pray that God will use the following message as a source of help and encouragement as you listen. Stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast to learn how you can contact us for additional resources or to receive further spiritual help. And now, here's today's message.
Father, I come in the name of Jesus. We thank you for that precious gift that you gave, the one who willingly came and laid down his life, who became sin for us, that we could become the righteousness of God. We are so thankful for Christ. And I pray, Lord, as we're gathered here this morning, you know every heart. You know every thought. You know every need. And Lord, through your word today, would you break through to each and every one of us, wherever we are. I pray that your word would open us up and do a work in us that we need to be done. We surrender ourselves to you now. The best that we know how, we push aside everything else that is fighting for our attention. And we want to focus only upon you. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, I'm wrestling up here. What we had planned to do today was to be in our fourth Sunday in our series called Good News. We've been going through the gospel, unpacking that, and looking at what that means and why that is so important, not only for our salvation, but for every moment of our lives. And, we've planned the service to do that. I have my notes here, getting ready to ask you to turn to Galatians chapter 1, and I just don't think this is what God wants us to do. So, I'm going to mess up our series. Where's Rex? He's out in the, he's hiding. Well, this is, we've talked about this. This is, I think, to my memory, the second time that this has happened to me since we started this church. Where's Dale? Dale, aren't you glad we had 11 songs to choose from today? You made fun of me for being too creative. And now we're gonna have to push this service to next week, and you can choose the other half of that 11 for next Sunday. See, there was a reason for that. Those of you who know me know that I believe in preparation. I don't believe in flying by the seat of my pants when I'm doing anything from God's Word. I believe in being prepared, studying, and getting up here and preaching from the Word of God with clarity. So this, for me, is very much out of my comfort zone. But we've been talking with some of the folks here in this church for a while now about prayer. We just feel like something is missing from the DNA of our church. I woke up this morning, and the very first thought, the very first thing that came to my mind were the words of Jesus. It's a very unusual picture we get of Jesus. We don't like to think of Jesus this way, but we see in John chapter 2 that he went to what was then, in that time, the house of God, which was the temple, and he saw that people were abusing what the temple was supposed to be about. Do you remember he took some cords and wove them together and made a whip And he was furious with the right kind of anger. And he went through the temple courts flipping over the tables and cracking that whip and driving the money changers out. They were there for no other reason than to make a profit from what was supposed to be God's business. They turned it into their own business. And do you remember the sentence he spoke when he was driving them out of the temple? He said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." That's the sentence I woke up hearing this morning. My house shall be called a house of prayer. And so I began praying and saying, "God, is there something you want me to pray for? I don't understand why this is so heavy on my heart." And I came over here and lined everything up with the guys for the music, for the sermon, and standing back there listening to these songs, I felt like God was saying, "Phil, you've talked about prayer so much. When are you going to pray?" And I realized that even though we know, and I've taught you this, that this building is not God's house anymore, we understand that. It was that way before Christ, but now the Bible says, "Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit?" Now, if you want a staggering thought, think about the words of Jesus now in light of the fact that we are the house of God. When he said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." That rattled me this morning. My mind went to the early church. I was looking again this morning in Acts chapter 4. Peter and John had been proclaiming the gospel, what we've been talking about. They were arrested in Acts 4. They were thrown in jail. They were brought before the ruling council. And they threatened them and they charged them. They demanded them never again to speak in the name of Jesus. And you know what they did in response to that? They didn't call their lawyer. They didn't demand their rights. They went to a prayer meeting. They left, they gathered with the other believers, Acts 4 tells us, and they prayed together. They lifted up their voices to the God of heaven and praised him for who he was, for creating the world. And then they prayed. They didn't say, "Oh God, get these persecutors off our backs." You know what they prayed? "God, help us to speak the word of God more boldly." It was a prayer meeting that they went to. That was their default response in those days. "My house shall be called a house of prayer." Not a house of music. Oh, we're called to sing praise to God. What we're doing is right. "My house shall be called a house of prayer." Not a house of preaching. We're commanded to preach the word. What we're doing is right. But we must remember the church wasn't born while someone was preaching a sermon. The church was born while people were praying. And I have very unexpectedly today fallen under great conviction that as your pastor, I have failed to make this a church of prayer. Believe me, I would much rather be preaching the fourth sermon in this series right now. I had all my points laid out. It was great. I mean, I polished that thing off. It was well done. You would have loved it. I would much rather be doing that right now, but I've sat back there for the first few songs and then stood back there for the last two, and I have been wrestling with God over this. And I just kept being taken back to "my house shall be called a house of prayer." And that can't be said of us. Our church has been going through more stuff than anything I have ever seen in any church in my life. There have been more battles, more struggles with me, my own family, with so many of you. And then you spread it out even beyond this church family as we watch what is unfolding in this nation, the collapse and disappearance of common sense, of morals, of decency, of fear of God. It's like someone has just opened the gates and crazy people have just run amok across this country. You go beyond our borders to the rest of the world and you see what's happening around the world. Does this trouble anyone else? Our brothers and sisters in Christ right now in different parts of the world are being tortured and put to death for their faith in Christ. Folks, I'm telling you, this is an upside down world we're living in. And if ever there was a time for prayer, surely, surely it is now. And I keep putting it off. With all the things that we've seen going on in this church, I look around and I see some of your faces and I remember the stories come to mind of what you've been through or what you're going through. And I add all that up and I just feel like, I don't know any other way to say this, but I just feel like God has given us reason after reason to stop what we're doing and call upon Him. And I'm so afraid to change things. I'm so afraid to disrupt our little flow that we have every Sunday. Well, it might offend someone. Well, be offended then by it. I'm moving past that fear this morning. As pastors, sometimes we become so skilled and trained and so good at talking about things that, please pardon my language, that we need to just shut up about and start doing instead. I've talked to you about prayer so many times. But when do we pray? Oh, we pray at the opening of the service. I pray before the message. We pray before we leave. But I'll tell you that some of the things that I've experienced in the last 2 weeks just with caring for my parents and some of the things I've encountered, they've shaken me. And I realize I don't know any of us who are praying to the depth and the degree and with the passion calling upon God like we ought to be in these times. God longs for us to be people of prayer. And he will orchestrate the events of our lives to drive us to Him. And we see it sometimes as a negative thing, but we must remember that as a loving Father, He is orchestrating our lives to cause us to have no other place to turn but to Him, because He longs for that fellowship. God forgive us. We've come to see prayer as a cosmic vending machine. We drop a couple prayers in and we push the button and we expect something from God. God help us. Prayer is so much more than that. Some of you going through such deep things. And the Bible gives us the invitation in Hebrews 4:16. It says, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I wonder if there's anyone here this morning who would unashamedly raise your hand and say, Phil, I could use some extra grace today. Anybody? I could use some extra mercy today. I want us to do something right now. I know this is extremely And even as I'm about to say these words, I realize how tragic it is that I would even have to say this in a church service. That I realize how odd and unusual and out of the norm what I'm about to do is. Lord, forgive us. See, I think let me back up for just a second. I think we actually have come to believe that as long as we make the effort to get up on Sunday morning and go to a church service, and as long as we have 3 or 4 opening songs, and boy, I hope the pastor brings it today, and then we have a couple of closing songs, and we shake some hands, and we leave, we've actually come to think in this country that that's all we need in our Christian life. And I've told you this before. Why is it? Not just this church. I have plenty of pastor friends who are lamenting the same problem. Why is it that a church can put on a concert or some big event and the place will be standing room only, but you call the church to pray and nobody shows up? Well, we can come up with all kinds of clever reasons for that. But I'll tell you the reason. It's because we don't care about prayer. You want me to prove that point to you? If I got up here this morning and announced that I had a very rich family member who had died and they had left $50 million to LifePoint, and this Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, if you show up here this Wednesday at 7 o'clock, everyone who comes will get $100,000 in cash. I guarantee you people would be lined up through the parking lot to get in. Why? Can we just be honest? Because we care more about money than we do about prayer. I know every one of y'all might leave LifePoint after today. It may just be me. All right, 2. As I said, in some of our meetings for months now, we've been talking about prayer. We've been talking about the need for prayer. And we've been beginning in those meetings to start praying more. But for whatever reason, God chose today to intersect my path on this issue. I simply cannot be disobedient and come up here and say, "No, God, I know better than you do. I'm preaching the sermon that I plan to preach." I will not do that. I'm not brave enough to do that before God. And so this is what we're doing today. I have no script for this. I have no plan for this. Back to what I was going to say a minute ago. I want us to do something right now that horribly may be uncomfortable for us as the church to do. I'm going to call the church to pray. And I don't even know how this is supposed to look. Frankly, I don't think it's supposed to look anyway. Maybe that's why I'm struggling with it. I just think we need to just press pause in the flow and the rush of life and even of church stuff. We just need to stop. And we need to come to God in prayer. And I want to apologize. As your pastor, I haven't meant to, but I'm just so detail-oriented and so focused on trying to make every service honorable to God and edifying to the church. And I always think of Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 12, I believe it was, where he said to the church, "Let all things be done decently and in order." And sometimes I take that so much to heart that I'm afraid to break out of the order that we've created here. You know, another thing that struck me this morning, unless I've missed it, and I could have, but I don't ever remember reading about in the Bible or in history a great move of God that broke out when people continued to do the same thing they had always been doing. It only happened when they were willing to stand up and say, "We're stopping this. We're calling upon God because we need Him. We need Him. I want us to take some time right now. You do whatever you want. You can kneel, you can stand, you can come up front, you can sit. And if you don't have anything to pray about, then that's what you ought to be praying about. Because I can tell you, I got a long list for myself, for my family, for you. Let's just pause right now. I'm going to stop talking. And I want each of you, however God leads you to do, just to pray. Let's seek the Lord's face.
You've been listening to a broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. If this ministry has touched your life in some way, we would love to hear from you. Just visit our website at www.lifepointsc.org for more information. Or, if you prefer to reach us by letter, you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Until next time, may God bless you as you continue to follow Him. Of my heart, I want to see.